Father God, we're just so incredibly grateful for the mothers here today. I'm just thinking about that day that's coming when they are going to stand before you and you're going to tell them, well done, good and faithful servant. The moms among us here today love people way more than the rest of us. Some of us are in our offices all day. We don't need to love anybody. But these moms, they're having to love somebody literally every minute of every day, all day long. That's why they're going to be at the front of that line someday to receive their reward for what we're celebrating here today. We just thank you for our moms. We love them and are so glad that they're part of our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope you can see that. This is my 2-year-old grandson, Arthur. See what he's doing there? Yeah. He's jumping down about, I don't know, seven, eight steps onto this beanbag. And so as you watch, I mean, and I've seen this in person. It looks more dangerous than it's looking right now, but As you watch what Artie's doing here, what word comes to your mind? Foolish or fearless? Yes. Who would say, that looks foolish? I would never let my 2-year-old do that. Yeah, we got a few honest ones. How many think, that kid's fearless? Amen. I'm not saying others of you are wrong, but I'm just saying, you know, frankly, it's hard to know. If you think he is being foolish, I might sound foolish to argue against that. Again, it was a lot more dangerous when I first saw him do it. And what is the line between foolish and fairness? I'm fearless. Those who know me will probably tell you I'm not the best guy to ask about that difference. I was visiting my grandchildren at their home one day, and Artie was doing this, and I thought it was awesome when I saw him do it. And the word I thought was, this kid is fearless. I thought, man, if he is jumping down flights of stairs at 2 years old, what is he going to do in this world? Be a fireman who rescues people out of burning buildings? Be a police officer who protects innocent people from evil ones? It'll be amazing to see what a fearless kid like that becomes if he doesn't kill himself first. But you know, the most amazing person in that video is not Arthur. It's his mom. She's the one that's videotaping this. She's not scolding him for jumping down those stairs. Did you hear her laughing about what Arthur was doing? That's what impressed me the day that I saw this. Not only is Artie fearless, Artie's fearless because his mom is fearless. I want to lift up this mom this morning as an example of being fearless and raising fearless children. What makes this even better is that while I was there, Artie was doing this over and over again, and on one attempt, he did not jump far enough. And he landed bottom first on the last step, and he whimpered a little bit because it obviously hurt. At this point, I'm thinking, okay, the fun's over. She's going to stop this. No, she said something like, you're okay, buddy. And already got back up, went back up the stairs, and kept doing it. Later, I asked this mom to videotape this for the purpose of this message. And I talked to her about this. I said, now, some people would watch this and think, this is foolish. But what is going through your mind? I asked her, what is going through your mind when you watch Artie doing this? I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but she said, if my children see me living in fear, they will grow up being fearful. She said, life is hard, and I want my children to be able to face that, especially my son, she said. I want him to be brave. She should be giving this message today. When I told this mom the verse I was going to use for this message, she reminded me, I had forgotten this, but last Mother's Day, right here on this stage, 1 year ago, she and her husband dedicated their daughter, Violet, and the verse they gave their daughter was Proverbs 31:25. Proverbs 31 is a tribute to noble and virtuous women. I count 33 separate and praiseworthy things in Proverbs 31 about a godly woman. And this is my favorite, verse 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Violet's mom told me they chose that verse for Violet because as a girl, she will be especially prone to worry. And that's what her parents pray for her, to not be anxious. In fact, I know that even right now, this woman is experiencing a terrible and painful challenge in her life. I asked her about that. And she said, I know it's going to be hard, but I'm not afraid. We have the hope of eternity. And she ended her thoughts with me with this, quote, it is not the most important thing to be comfortable. Amen? Not even for our children. This is a mom who is going to do what I am challenging all moms to do in my primary point today. Raise warriors, not wimps. When Brenda saw my primary point for this morning, she looked at me and said, now you know you're talking to women, not men, right? Maybe this is more a Father's Day message than a Mother's Day message. But yeah, we need tough moms to raise tough kids because we live in a really tough world. That's just a fact. Sometimes a painful world. Last Sunday, I described some of the pain I've been experiencing in my life recently. And so just a few days after that, I had some time with my granddaughter, Violet, and I was holding her, and I looked at her, and I said, don't grow up. She probably didn't understand what I was saying. But right now, she is oblivious to all the dangers in this world, and I just want her to stay there. I don't want her to grow up. But she won't stay there. She will one day have to grow up in this hard and sometimes painful world and face her giants. And neither her parents nor her two grandpas, three grandpas, will be able to protect her from that. Not completely. That's why, moms, I'm encouraging on this Mother's Day, raise warriors, not wimps. Obviously, I'm not talking necessarily about raising kids who will go into the military. I'm talking about kids who have courage to face life, who hit the bottom stair on a jump, get back up, and jump again. Kids who can push through hard things. We had one young man thank his mom today for making him do hard things. Whacker boy, Ben, yeah. Kids who do not care what other people think of them. I'm talking about cultural warriors, not military ones. Moms, if you live in fear, so will your children. They will see that anxiety and fear on your face, and they will grow up to believe that fear is how God wants us to live. If you're going to raise warriors instead of wimps, God wants to help you be like this mom in Proverbs 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear at the future. Yes, this is a dangerous world, but God does not want us to raise our kids in fear. I admitted earlier that it's difficult to know the difference between being foolish and fearless, but there is someone who knows the difference, and it's God. And it's instructed to watch how God raises his own children. Listen to how David's spiritual father, King David's father, God, raised him to be a warrior instead of a wimp. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 17, then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites, send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelite soldiers heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how many soldiers were there. Tens of thousands. They're all shaking their boots. What a bunch of wimps. But do you remember what David said to King Saul? Quote, don't worry about this Philistine. I will go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. And he's been a man of war since youth. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, that lion or bear, I seized it by its hair. I struck it and I killed it." That's a man. A man God was raising to be a great warrior someday. And it's likely that David was somewhere between 12 and 15 years of age when he had this experience. David goes on, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Notice how David's spiritual father raised him. God sent a lion into his life, put him in potential danger. From a human perspective, it might look like this. Just follow me for a minute here. David's dad drives out to the sheep pasture here in his pickup truck and parks behind some group of trees hidden from David. And in the back of his pickup truck is a cage with a lion in it. We don't know where he got the lion, but just follow me here, okay? He's got a lion. And David's dad lets that lion out of the cage, knowing he's going to go after those sheep that David's protecting. And David's only got a stick. And he's going to have to fight that lion with a stick. Now the dad, let's say he's got a high-powered rifle, okay, crosshairs on the lion just in case it gets out of hand. But what would you think of that dad who would do something like that to his son? That's crazy. He should be reported to the authorities, right? But that is essentially what God did with his spiritual son, David. He put a lion in his life. And then a bear. Obviously, again, he would have protected David from being killed. But it is possible that David had scars on his body for the rest of his life from those fights. So why did God do this? Was this foolish? Of course not. He's God. Was it to hurt David? No. God knew David could handle this. So why cause these scary, even potentially dangerous events to occur in his son's life? Because God knew that someday his son was going to glorify him by facing and killing a Goliath. God was raising a warrior, not a wimp. So what does this look like in our parenting? For the little ones, we're going to get kind of practical here. For the little ones, I think of two things. First, if you want to raise warriors instead of wimps, you have to confront their whining. Whining children are in danger of growing up wimps who cannot handle things. Yeah, this is sounding like a Father's Day message. Moms and dads, go after that whining. Second, you have to confront what I call the me monster in your little ones. Those of you who've been around New Life have heard this for many years. And Proverbs describes the me monster in our children when it says, "Folly," meaning sin in Proverbs, "is bound up. It's wrapped around the heart of a child like a snake. But the rod of discipline," which is spanking on the bottom, where the me monster lives, "will drive it," the me monster, "far away." Proverbs 22:15. The only cure for the me monster in our children, especially our toddlers, is not talking them out of their rebellion. God created your children, and he alone knows what will be effective. And God says he wants you to spank his children when they are rebelling against you. Remember, your kids are ultimately God's kids. You don't really have an option to raise them any way you want to. He's expecting you to raise them according to his instructions in Scripture because they're his kids. And this is how God wants you to raise your little ones, to be godly warriors instead of sinful wimps. God says elsewhere in Proverbs, "Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children." I know the world says differently. They're wrong. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Later in Proverbs, "A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother." It's just the truth. Moms, facing the me monster and the lies of your little children will probably be the first fight you've ever had. You have to be stronger and more determined than that little selfish, rebellious, and whiny part of them that wants to control them and you. There is a reason I have called a child's sinful nature the me monster. It can seem like a real monster, powerful, stubborn, and the only thing that will set your kid free from its destruction is for you moms to be fearless and strong and deal with that me monster where he lives. There's no other way. I don't care what the world says. There's no other way. Only a strong mom can do that. I've often wondered why God makes the moms be the primary parents who have to deal with the me monster in our children. Even hundreds of years ago, dads were out in the fields growing crops and hunting game, and it was primarily up to the moms to deal with the me monsters in their home. Physically disciplining our children is usually easier for a man. Is especially challenging for moms. Why did God make it this way? Because God expects his daughters to be strong, fearless, and committed to winning their battle with the me monsters in their home. You see, moms, while you are raising your children to be warriors instead of wimps, your heavenly Father is raising you, his daughter, to be a warrior instead of a wimp. This really is a Father's Day message. And God sent you a little boy or a little girl with a me monster, just like he sent his son David, a lion and a bear, to teach him to be strong. That's what he's doing in your life. He's teaching you to be strong. It's hard, but that's what he's doing. So what does raising warriors instead of wimps look like with our adolescents? Teach them to work hard. Teach them to sacrificially serve people. To have that joy of blessing other people. So important in those adolescent ages. I can't even tell you how many people have approached Brendan and I over the years and told us that our children are hard workers and sacrificial servants. That did not come naturally. Brendan made them work hard at their school. And when the boys were still in their teens, I bought a business, pretty much put them in charge of it, and it was a lot of hard work. We wanted our kids to do hard things because this is a hard world. Yeah, so just last week, I attended a very special ceremony. My daughter, Joelle, and my granddaughter, Coral, received their black belts in Taekwondo. Is Joelle here? Or is Coral here? She's back. Now, keep going. Let's show that. Yeah, watch this. You don't want to fight this gal. Huh? This is part of the test for the black belt. And now this is a mom who is being a warrior, almost literally, and not a wimp. And she is raising her daughter to be a warrior, not a wimp. When I was at this ceremony afterwards, I asked my granddaughter, Coral, if she thought she could beat her grandpa in a fighting match. She looked at me like that was a really dumb question. And she said, of course. I'm really glad she thinks so. Finally, what does raising warriors instead of wimps look like in the teen years? The monster in their life now is peer pressure. In their young years, the pull to sin was coming from the me monster inside of them. Now it's coming from the me monster of the sinful world around them. Now it's coming, and if you haven't helped them subdue their lion and bear me monster when they were little, they may not have the strength to face the Goliaths of peer pressure now. And they're craving to just be liked by people. It's so hard in those teen years. We remember that, don't we? Wimpy moms are too weak to help their sons and daughters here. The wimpy mom will tell her daughter, yeah, let's go buy you some low-cut shirts and tight jeans so you'll look cool. They will tell their boy, son, you need a girlfriend. What about that cute cheerleader? The real test of our parenting will be how countercultural our teenagers are. Do they care about people instead of just themselves? Do they care about the salvation of their friends and try to be an example to them of a godly person? Are they striving to be different in a selfish, sinful world? Or just succumbing to it? Are they truly loving their friends instead of playing the hurtful, backstabbing games of their peers? Do they love the kids that no one else is loving? I'm proud to say that New Life's youth group is full of teens just like that. And a primary reason why is the awesome moms we have in this church. I'm preaching to the choir today. We do have tough moms who are raising tough kids for a tough world, who are raising warriors instead of wimps. I know that. In my message today, I highlighted a few moms that I know the best, but I am proud of all the moms of New Life Community Church here. We have amazing kids. That's because we have amazing moms. We have amazing countercultural and loving teens at New Life, and that is substantially because we have countercultural moms at New Life. It takes strong moms to raise sons and daughters who do not care what their peers think of them, but care more about what God thinks of them, and who are kids who are countercultural and Christian in the way they live. At New Life, we have a tradition of over three decades of raising kids like that. Mike mentioned earlier, when we first started New Life, yeah, there was no grandpas. We were all just young parents. That's all we were. And it's because of all the Proverbs 31 moms we have had in this church over the years, I want to encourage the younger moms to follow their examples today. On this Mother's Day, I want to encourage all of our moms to be a Proverbs 31 woman, of which Solomon said, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Those are the kinds of moms that will raise warriors, not wimps. So moms, do you have the fortitude to do this? Here's a little test. As you watch this video, would you tell your two-year-old not to do this? Would you let your two-year-old do this? And laugh about it. Will you let your older children take some risks and do things that will challenge them just to help them grow? Will you allow or even put lions and bears in your children's lives so they grow up to be warriors instead of wimps? Amen. Turn to the person next to you, discuss what was meaningful about today's message, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray right now, and then we'll do that. Yeah. Let me pray. Father God, we want to thank you for our moms today. They are amazing. It's amazing how sacrificial and loving their life is. They are loving people every single minute. We're so grateful for their example, and we just ask you, God, to give them grace, give them strength. We guys think our life is hard, but I don't know. I spend a whole day with my grandkids now. I'm exhausted. We just ask you to give them grace and strength. Help us, not only as men, but as a church family, to support our moms in every way we can. We just commit it to your grace. We just ask you, please, oh God, bless our moms at New Life Community Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to the person next to you, discuss what was today's message for a couple minutes, and we'll end.
Okay, let's close with a couple of announcements. You may have noticed out in the foyer this morning that there's a couple of tables full of little baby bottles. Those are in support of Bridgehaven here in town. And we will show a video in a couple of weeks that more fully reminds us about the ministry of Bridgehaven. But if you'd like to pick up a baby bottle, please do so. You can fill that up with change or dollar bills and bring that back in a few weeks. Again, more details to come on that. A couple of deadlines today. So for our men who are going to the retreat next weekend, your money is due today. So please make your payment. And then for our summer retreat coming up in late June, those registrations are due by today. So hopefully everybody has had that taken care of. A couple weeks ago, you received an email about ministry signups. We want to encourage you to continue to think about ways that you'd like to serve New Life Community Church in the next year, which starts on July 1st. I know that's a little weird. We start our new ministry year on July 1st, so you can respond to the link that is in our All Church email. After the service today, if you have a minute to stick around, we need to do some rearranging here in the auditorium, stacking the chairs against the wall over here. Only the chairs that are on the kitchen side of the auditorium. So where's Brenda? Brenda's not here. I assume that means just this third over here. Is that right? Anybody know? Okay. Yep. So just that section. That would be awesome for the Awana store later this week. Finally, wanted to let you know that next Sunday, May 17th, we're going to take our teaching time to give you as complete of update as we can on our possible gymnasium project. I'll be sending out an email to the church here in the next 24 to 48 hours to give you a little glimpse of what we're going to be sharing next Sunday. But then next Sunday, the full enchilada. We're going to tell you all about it and start asking you to give consideration to how you might want to support that project. So please look forward to that next week. You know, we sang earlier this morning about the beauty of the Lord. I think it's a good reminder for us that the beauty of the Lord demonstrates itself in so many ways, right? The beauty of spring, certainly the beauty in the lives of our moms. I just want to encourage us as we leave today to embrace living this week in the beauty of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Hope to see you soon. Come back to New Life next Sunday.